The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 28, verses 11 to 14. Acts chapter 28, verses 11 to 14. Allow me to read the words of God. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods of Castor and Pollux. We put it in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There, we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. In Paul's lifetime, he took 3 missionary journeys to the Mediterranean region. During that time period, Paul traveled a total of 13,300 kilometers and visited as many as 57 cities. In Paul's time, the only transportation method available were ships and walking on foot. In those days, ships called at each port and transferred the cargo. Moreover, large ships were sailing boats, so they could travel only when it was windy. If there were no winds, or if it was too windy, ships could not leave the port. The number of ports and the days that Paul had to wait at those ports during his 3 missionary journeys are probably too many to count. While Luke, the author of the Gospel of Acts, recorded Paul's missionary journeys in detail, he did not articulate all the name of the ports and the days that Paul waited at each port. Luke's purpose in recording the missionary journeys of Paul was not to reveal Paul's itinerary, but to testify how Paul completed his calling as the Preparatus and Martyrs of the Lord. In this perspective, today's scripture has a special meaning. It was the first and the last time that Paul had greeted the new year at the island of Melite, where he had been cast away, and he left the island towards his final destination, Rome, as soon as the travel prohibition measure in the Mediterranean was lifted in the spring. At that time, Paul used another Alexandrian ship that had wintered in the island of Melite. Before Paul's feet had landed in the island of Melite due to the deadly northeaster storm, God had prepared another ship on that island for Paul to take after 3 months. On the figurehead of that ship, there was a shape of Dioscuri, the twin sons of Zeus, Castor and Pollux. But as we have examined last time, it was a lifeless image of a scarecrow in front of God. That ship was the instrument God had prepared for Paul. And today's scripture explains as the following in verses 12 to 14. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There, we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The Alexandrian ship that Paul had boarded left the island of Melite and traveled and docked at Syracuse of Sicilia, the largest island located in the northern part of the Mediterranean. And that ship, with the shape of Dioscuroi, was docked for 4 days. The Alexandrian ship that left Syracuse after 4 days followed the coast of Sicilia towards Rigium in Italy. There, the ship was docked for another day. The next day, the south wind came up and the Alexandrian ship passed the Straits of Messina in between the island of Sicilia and the Italian peninsula and docked at Puteoli, the outer port of Rome, on the following day. Finally, Paul had taken his first step on the Italian peninsula, 220 kilometers away from Rome, his final destination. Even then, Paul could not immediately travel to Rome. Only after spending several days with Christians in Puteoli, he could finally travel to Rome. Luke recorded today's scripture as a navigator records his itinerary. It was an exceptional record of how many days Paul had spent from the island of Melite to Puteoli and eventually to Rome. In the later part of verse 14, he concluded as following, "And so we came to Rome." The phrase we should pay attention to is "and so." Today's scripture does not say that Paul just went to Rome, but emphasizes that Paul had gone to Rome like so. We can interpret Paul's entire life by applying the phrase in today's scripture, "and so," in a broad sense. For a very long time, through the Gospel of Acts, we have looked at how God called Paul, who had persecuted the church, and how God trained him, and how he finally led Paul to Rome. Therefore, we can interpret "and so" of today's scripture as, and as we've verified so far, Paul had finally reached Rome. We will look more into this interpretation next time. We can also interpret the phrase "and so" in today's scripture in the context of today's scripture. Paul, who had departed the island of Melite, had to wait 4 days in Syracuse, an island in Sicilia, and had to wait another day in Rigium of the Italian peninsula after traveling along the coast of Sicilia. On the following day, he arrived at Puteoli, but had to spend several days more at the request of Christians there. Only then he could head towards Rome. Likewise, if we restrict the interpretation of the phrase "and so" only to today's scripture, we can see that the phrase "and so" is emphasizing the number of days in the scripture because there is an important meaning hidden behind the number of days. When Festus was newly appointed as the new governor of the province of Judea, Paul had been imprisoned in Caesarea for 2 years due to the accusations of the Jewish leaders. Through the trial and hearing of Paul, The new governor Festus confirmed Paul's innocence. However, because Paul had appealed to the Roman emperor, Governor Festus assigned Centurion Julius as the person in charge to escort Paul to Rome, where the court of the emperor is. According to Acts chapter 27, verses 1 and 2, Centurion Julius boarded a ship from Adramyrium in Caesarea with the imperial regiment to take Paul to Rome. Until then, he had thought that they would arrive Rome before the travel prohibition period of the Mediterranean started. If the travel prohibition period had been imminent, Governor Festus or Centurion Julius would have had Paul leave next spring. But the decision of Governor Festus and Centurion Julius was incorrect from the beginning. The ship from Adramyrium faced strong winds soon after it departed and strayed away from the regular path. The ship was pushed towards the lee of Cyprus in the south and dependent on its coastline to land at Myra in Lycia, wasting away many days in the process. The case of Alexandrian ship that Paul boarded was no different. After departing Myra, the Alexandrian ship also met strong winds, so they spent many days to land on Cnidus. To make things worse, they could not move at all. The Alexandrian ship was pushed towards the lee of Crete in the middle of the Mediterranean, and they finally docked at the fair havens. Since they had spent many days in the unexpected harsh winds, the travel prohibition period of the Mediterranean was imminent. Paul warned that traveling further will be dangerous. But people ignored Paul's warning, and the Alexandrian ship that resumed the journey met with a deadly northeaster storm. As a result, 276 people on the Alexandrian ship had to spend 3 months of the winter on the small island of Melite in the Mediterranean. Governor Festus was sure that Paul would be able to reach Rome before the winter when he had Paul leave Caesarea. But Paul's journey was delayed to spring due to the harsh winds and the deadly northeaster storm of the Mediterranean. And so, only by the time of today's scripture, Paul could leave the island of Melite towards Rome. Paul's purpose for going to Rome, the capital of the empire, was not for business or for tourism. Paul's purpose for visiting was to follow God's providence and stand as God's preparatus and martis in the emperor's court. Since Paul had spent 3 months in the island of Melite and now resumed to arrive at his final destination, Rome, wouldn't it be appropriate that God would lead Paul to arrive at Rome as soon as possible? However, the Alexandrian ship that had left the island of Melite was docked in the first port, Syracuse, for 4 days. Today's scripture does not mention why it did. We don't know whether 4 days were spent to unload and load the cargo, or because there were no winds for the ship to move. The reason is not mentioned because it's not important. The important point is that the Alexandrian ship that Paul had boarded did not move for 4 days in Syracuse with Rome so close by. Paul, who should be en route to Rome, had to wait helplessly in the ship. It was the same in the next port, Rhegium. To travel north to the streets of Messina, they needed southward wind, which only blew the next day. In Rhegium, Paul had to wait helplessly for the south winds to blow for an entire day. Puteoli, the final destination of the Alexandrian ship, was the outer port of Rome. The distance from there to Rome was 220 kilometers, which took about 6 days for a healthy young man. The typical move of Paul when he landed at Puteoli of the Italian peninsula would be to walk towards Rome, his final destination, without haste. However, when Christians of the region heard that Paul landed at Puteoli, they wanted to meet Paul. During the third missionary journey in Corinth, Paul had written a letter to the Romans addressing the Christians in Rome. Christians in Puteoli, located near Rome, must have been familiar with the letter to the Romans. How much would they have earned to meet Paul in person when they heard that the famous disciple Paul, who had written the letter to the Romans, had landed in their hometown? But Paul could not decide his journey by his own will. He was a prisoner in trial, being transferred to Rome. Centurion Julius had all the authority to make decisions regarding Paul's journey. That centurion allowed Paul to stay not just 1 or 2 days, but several days with the Christians in Puteoli. Centurion Julius was a subordinate of Governor Festus, and his task was to escort Paul to Rome as soon as possible, following the order of the governor. Since the centurion had wintered 3 months in the island of Melite, he had to hurry to complete the order of the governor. Even so, the centurion allowed Paul to spend several days with the Christians in Puteoli. Since the centurion had experienced the grace of salvation through Paul in the deadly northeaster storm, he may have decided to give a last gift to Paul before they part. Anyhow, this was an unacceptable behavior for a centurion on a formal mission. Thanks to the atypical decision of the centurion, Paul, who needed to be headed to Rome, stayed several days in Puteoli. Paul's journey to Rome was delayed by 11 days in total after leaving the island of Melite, 4 in Syracuse, 1 in Rhegium, and 6 in Puteoli. Why would God have delayed Paul's journey to Rome by 11 days like so, even when Paul had departed the island of Melite after spending 3 months of winter? Today's scripture reminds us of Noah in Genesis. God had decided to judge humanity with a flood to wipe away all the sinful people. God told Noah about his plan and had him construct the ark. He had only Noah and his family to survive the judgment so that a new history of humanity would begin. The length of the ark God commanded Noah to build was longer than today's soccer field. For the construction of this enormous ark, God did not provide Noah with anything. He just commanded. Noah, obeying God's command, used all of his inheritance and risked his life to build the ark. Jesus describes the situation as the following. Matthew chapter 24, verses 38-39. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Noah risked his entire life to build the ark in preparation for the flood of judgment. But people did not believe the flood of judgment that Noah spoke of, even when the flood began. They probably regarded Noah as a crazy man who was obsessed with the construction of the ark, saying that flood will come, even though the sky was clear. However, Noah did not care and completed the construction of the ark. And following God's command, he went into the ark with his family. Then, shouldn't God have started the flood right away and wipe away the humanity instantly? Even though Noah had entered the ark, the flood did not seem to begin. On the second day, and on the third day, and on the fourth day, there was no sign of rain in the cloudless sky. According to Genesis chapter 7, verse 10, the flood started after 7 days. Even after Noah entered the ark, it did not rain for 7 days. People probably taunted Noah every day in front of the ark during those 7 days. They probably shouted, "Where is the flood going to occur? Stop this madness and come out from the ark." How would have Noah felt then? During the 7 days when the flood did not come, he could have thought, "Maybe I'm really crazy. Maybe I heard something wrong." And he may have felt regret and anxiety. Why did God have Noah risk all his life and build an ark and call him into the ark, but not have the flood begin right away? Why did God have Noah wait helplessly in the ark for 7 days? We often mistake Noah and Paul as righteous people perfected on this land. But this is not true and cannot be true. Noah and Paul were the race of Adam under the influence of sin. In Noah's later days, he became drunk with wine and fell asleep naked. And he later condemned his second son, Ham, for revealing the fact. It was not a behavior a respective father would do, shifting the responsibility of his mistake to his son. In Romans chapter 7, verses 18 to 25, Paul laments, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." Paul does not forget that even though he is a saved Christian, he is also a prisoner of the law of sin at work. So Paul confessed that he dies every day in front of God and that he strikes his body to make it as a slave. He knew his limitation that he would be a prisoner of the law of sin if he did not do what God wants for even a moment within a day. If the flood of judgment started as soon as Noah had entered the ark, what would have happened? For Noah, it was so natural for him, so he would have taken the credit for surviving in the flood of judgment by risking his inheritance and his life. Noah would have fallen into self-pride without even himself realizing, because he himself is a prisoner of the law of sin. But for Noah, who had entered the ark, there was no room for self-pride. There was no sign of even a single drop of rain after a day, 2 days, and 4 days inside the ark. For 7 rainless days, Noah gazed upon only his God inside the ark and became more humble day by day. Finally, when the flood of judgment started, and only Noah and his family survived, Noah could not take any credit. It was only by the grace of God that he was chosen by God to build the enormous ark and for his family to survive the flood of judgment thanks to the ark. It was God's mysterious providence for the flood to start after 7 days since Noah had entered the ark, so that God would plant with all his heart and soul, so that Noah would become the true second progenitor of noble character. Paul was a prisoner on trial en route to the court of the emperor. However, the 275 people on board the Alexandrian ship was saved in spirit and flesh thanks to one person, Paul, in the deadly northeaster storm. Paul did not rest or play during the 3 months in the island of Melite. He cured the sick with incurable diseases after he healed the father of Publius, the chief official of the island, who had been suffering from fever and dysentery. To the people of the island, Paul was a gift from heaven. To express their thanks, not only did they take care of Paul and the other passengers, but they also furnished them with supplies on the ship when they left. Unintentionally, Paul was the VIP in the Alexandrian ship that strayed away in the deadly northeaster storm, and also on the island of Melite, where he was cast away. If Paul had reached Rome right after leaving for the island of Melite, Paul, who was also under the influence of sins, may have fallen into self-pride. He may have mistaken that he reached Rome by his unshaken volition and tenacity. However, his journey to Rome from the island of Melite was delayed by 11 days, like so, with 4 at Syracuse, 1 at Rigium, and 6 at Puteoli. God had given him the last chance to die before God and to strike his body with the word so that he would not fall into self-pride, since it was easy for Paul to feel pride. That was God's providence to plant Paul with all of God's heart and soul as his true Huppertus and Martus. This is the message of the Lord for us in the first Sunday of Lent, during which we contemplate upon the sacrifice of the Lord and wait for his resurrection. We are Christians who receive salvation through the blood of the cross. Jesus willingly took on that cross for us. If we do not believe that, there is no reason for us to be sitting here. But do not delude yourself. Just because we are saved Christians does not mean that we have been perfected as righteous people. While we have been saved in the Lord, We are also sinful in nature as long as we are in the flesh. If we do not rely on the Lord for even a moment and are not conscious of the Lord for a moment, we are weak and prone to be slaves of sin. That's why God sometimes has our plans go wrong, delays them, and allows unexpected things to happen in our lives. He does so to have us live as true Christians, not falling into self-pride at any circumstance, and instead die in front of the Lord all the time, and only become slaves to God by striking our body with the word. Was a plan you had pursued by following God's command failed or gone astray? Has something been delayed without promise? Is your life filled with unexpected events? Then may we thank God instead and praise Him, because all of this is under God's providence, for God to plant us with all His heart and soul as true Christians. Because we believe in this, our lives, which are like the Alexandrian ships, that do not move, we can still believe that God will carry out His plan, and we can be in absolute peace as we head towards our own Rome with God. Even as our plans fail and are delayed, we know that our souls will be polished to shine and to eventually enter our own Rome. Let us pray. On the first Sunday of Lent, we praise the Lord for bearing the sacrifice of the cross for us. We thank You for saving us to live as Christians through the Lord's sacrifice. However, may we not delude ourselves as perfected righteous people. As long as we are in the flesh, may we not forget that we are prisoners to the law of sin. Help us not to be foolish, falling into self-pride and avoiding the Lord, and living as slaves to sin even for one moment. May we die in front of God and strike ourselves with the words of the Lord every day, like Paul. Even if our plans fail or are delayed despite our obedience to Your command, may we look to God in humility like Noah and Paul. Fill us with the peace that the world cannot give as we put our absolute trust in You, who polishes our soul like precious jewels. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.